each and every one, and we do give everyone a warm welcome in their service in the name of the Lord. And there is a few people missing, but the Lord bless those that came out this morning. And we've been looking at the book of Daniel, and we want to continue on this morning at the book of Daniel, praise God. And we want to see, we're up to the fiery furnace in chapter 3, verse 13 to 18, where these three men of God, these three Jewish men, refused to bow to this great image that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up, a type of the Babylonian image today, and a type of a bowing down until anything that's contrary to the word of God, and they refused to do it. And it was a death penalty to refuse to do it. And I was thinking as I was studying the nets, I was looking a bit at some of the martyrs, but I thought if I started going to the martyrs this morning, we're not going to get into any of this, and we'll be away on another subject. But when you see some of the martyrs that was martyred for the testimony of Jesus Christ, Cromwell, Lattimore, Tyndale, Wycliffe, there's so many. You know, there's so many that was martyred and burned at the stake by the Roman Church. And I believe that every single church will come under one unified organization in these last days. And churches that you'd say, oh, they'll not, they will. They will come in. They will all unite with Rome. And they're going to all come under one head. And they're going to have one man at the head of it all, and that's a pope. But God will have a people outside of that that won't bow down. And God will have a people that proclaim Jesus Christ as the true and only Lord. Amen. Let's read from verse 13 of Daniel chapter 3 then. Praise God. And the Lord bless each one. Then Nebuchadnezzar in his rage and fury commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king Nebuchadnezzar. And Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Do ye not serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Now if ye be ready, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, solitary, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the image which I have made. Well, but if ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of the fiery furnace. And who is that God that can deliver out of my hands? Let us just bow for a word of prayer. Praise God. And if you have a need, just raise your hand on the Lord. Praise God. God bless you. Heavenly Father, we just thank you and praise you this morning for your precious word of truth. And we humbly come before thee in the name that's above every name, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, we do say amen to all that's been said and prayed. We do ask you'll touch each and every one. We ask for the hands that's raised, that thou indeed will touch and meet every need. In Jesus Christ's name. We ask for those that's been visited even this week, that you'll speak unto them and do a work in their lives in the name of Jesus Christ. I ask again for my dad, you'll touch him and strengthen him. Bring him to full health in the name of Jesus. Even as a brother's prayed, that you'll restore and strengthen her sister Suzanne to full health and strength in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, for any others this morning, perhaps not here, laid aside sick, pray for William as well, you'll touch him and heal him in the name of Jesus Christ. And for Timothy, that you'll touch him in the name of Jesus Christ. For any others that need your great touch, Lord, that you will touch them in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, that you bless all that's here this morning and visit with us. May the presence of the Holy Spirit come. May the anointing of the Holy Spirit come. May you deal with hearts this morning and deal with lives and save every lost soul and restore the backslidden. And grant us thy great truth from this great book. And Lord, I take the promised Holy Ghost to help me. And I thank you, Lord, you do undertake for me. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Praise God. Now, I don't know how far I'll get this morning to the fourth man. where I'll get that far in that, you might get a bit of it, but I want to look at this confession of faith of these three Jews. Now this is a defiant challenge laid down by King Nebuchadnezzar here. It didn't take him long to forget what God done for Daniel. Didn't take him long to forget. Remember, this is the king that worshipped false gods. And then when Daniel interpreted his dream in the earlier chapter, chapter 2, he said that Daniel's God was a true God. And then everybody should worship him, but he's changed his mind. And it didn't take him long to change his mind. And the Bible talks about a double-minded man as unstable in all his ways. And God does not want us to change our minds. He doesn't want us to change our minds when we say we're following the Lord. He doesn't want us to change our minds when we say, you know, we're going to get behind God's work in a certain place. God doesn't want us to change our minds. But God wants us to be steadfast. He wants us to be unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. But this man has changed his mind. Now, Clarence Larkin reckons about 23 years passed from Daniel's interpretation of this first dream to this golden image. Others reckon 13 years. It's not important how many years passed, but it wasn't just the next few weeks. Years definitely passed before he built this golden image. And this golden image was set up on the plains of Dura so that the great buildings of Babylon wouldn't take away from it. It was set up by a cell. It was 90 feet tall. And everybody had to worship this image. And we saw last week that this image was an image of a man. And the man was Daniel. The king was so taken up with Daniel the prophet that he made an image to Daniel. And this now was really like his God. This was the thing now. He was caught up with a man, Daniel, instead of the God of Daniel. And God doesn't want us caught up with any other man other than the Lord Jesus Christ. And even though God can use a man and God can speak through a man, it's not the man we need to look to. It's the God of that man, the Lord Jesus Christ, we need to look to. For God will give us glory to the honor. But this king's defiant challenge, who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? He's forgot what God's really done. He's forgot who the real God is. And he's saying to thee, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who is your God that can deliver you out of my hands? You see, he thought he was in charge. This king thought he was in control, but he forgot his first image. He forgot the interpretation of it, for God showed that it was God that put him in the place he was in. And it is God that puts any one of us in the position we're in. You never put me in this position. I never put you in the position you're in. It was God that done it. And if God puts a man in a certain position, you better be careful that you don't try to take him out of what God's put him in, or you'll get in trouble. That's why the word of God says, touch not mine anointments, mine anointed, to do my servants, to my prophets no harm. Or a better millstone was put round your neck. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were God's men, and they were God's servants. They were men of prayer. And this king that was going to do them harm, he was going to burn them alive in a fiery furnace. A death penalty was looming them. So contrary to his confession when he made it to Daniel, and his confession that he made to Daniel, this king Nebuchadnezzar's confession was, your God is the God of all gods. Now he's changed his mind. You see, when you don't have a real experience with God, you will change your mind. But when you've got a real experience with the Lord Jesus Christ, nothing can change your mind. Nothing. You know the Lord. And thank God when you know the Lord. Your God is the God of lords, revealer of secrets. Now look at his radical change to these Jews. Was Nebuchadnezzar not sincere when he made his first confession? Or had he subsequently, through events, changed his mind? He had. I really believe he was so taken with a man, Daniel, and not the true God of Daniel. And there's many things we can be taken by. You know, you can be taken up with a man, even a preacher. And you can think he's so wonderful and he's so great, but you have to watch. It's not the preacher, no matter how good he is. It's God. Amen. is the one we have to serve. It's God's the one we have to give the glory to. And we've saw down through history when a man gets up and people start to look to him, God will deal with that man. God will let something happen because he'll not give his glory to another, and history proves that. That's why when you study this Bible and you study all the men of God through the ages, they all failed somewhere and they had to. Because there was one man that could never fail. And there was one man who didn't fail, and that was the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's the one we want to focus on. And he's the one that wants all our attention. And he's the one that wants our prayers. And he's the one that wants our worship. And he will not want us to give it to any other. No matter how good they are, and they can be good, and they can be great, they can be wonderful, and they can be great orders, and all them things are true. But it is God that we're worshiping. And no one else. When you read verse 16 here, in chapter 3 down, let's read it to verse 18. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king Nebuchadnezzar, "We are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou set up." And remember, this was a golden image of Daniel, and it said, "We are not serving it." And I tell you, there's coming a time, hear me this morning, I went into it last week, there's coming a time what the Bible talks about in Revelations of the mark of the beast. And when the mark of the beast comes in, every man and woman is going to have to receive a mark in the right hand or the forehead. And that's the number of a man in the 666. And if you don't receive that mark or number in your right hand or your forehead, you can't buy, you can't sell, you can't live without the mark. And these men here refused this mark, as it were. They refused to buy. And they said, "Even if you burn us, we won't buy." And during the time of the great tribulation, which is coming to this earth, and it's coming, there's a tribulation coming. This world and the things that's happening, it, God is going to have to judge it. Because if God doesn't judge this world, he'll have to raise Sodom and Gomorrah up and apologize. Because the word of God says, as it was in the days of Noah, as it was in the days of Lot, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. And we see the days are here. Men marrying men, women with women. Working that thing which Paul says in Romans is unseemly, and God gives them over to reprobate mind. And that's the age we're in, and we're at the end of days. And Jesus Christ is coming again, and he's coming for the people that's made themselves ready. They're saved, they're filled with the Holy Spirit. They're ready for to be taken away at any moment, at any time. Jesus can come today. And these men said, "We won't buy." And that time's coming when you'll be forced to worship that which is false. And that time's coming when you'll be forced to take this mark. If you're not sealed by the Holy Spirit, you will be sealed by the mark of the Antichrist. And there's many churches today which is on the edge of the boundary. They're so close to Rome, they're like Rome. And they're all going to go in with Rome. And they're all going to be deceived. For God says himself, "I'll send them a strong delusion that they may believe a lie and be damned." That's the word of God. But there's those like these three Jews here, and they said, "We will not bow. And even if we're not raptured, we'll not bow. But if God comes in the catching up and takes us, we believe he will, but if he doesn't, we still won't bow." That should be our attitude this morning. Whether we live, whether we die, we are the Lord's. "But if not, be it known unto you, O king, we will not serve thy gods nor worship the image." When Nebuchadnezzar thought his sovereignty was being challenged before his own subjects and diplomats, and it was, he was furious. The Bible says his countenance changed. I want to say this morning in this service, and I want to say this to Christians. If you make a decision in anger, it's never the will of God. If you're cross with somebody and you make a decision when you're cross, And I tell you, he was enraged. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, you know they had served as governors of the prince for more than 15 years. And during that period, they had obtained a good reputation for administration based on wisdom and mercy, and we had been, low officials. And they had been a low official. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego weren't just nobodies. They were officials, even in this king's province. They weren't nobodies. If they had been nobodies, they wouldn't even have talked with them. He'd already have burned them. But because the position they held, because he'd respect to them for what had happened with Daniel, he'd let this go for a bit. But now they were still refusing. He'd give them a second chance. But now there's no more chance they're going to be burned. I tell you, high-ranking officials, they commanded respect inside and outside his kingdom. Nebuchadnezzar suppressed the surging rage. They gave them a second chance, but this chance was gone. Look at verse, you can read it, what they said in verse 16 to 18. They said, "But if so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thy hand, O king." They were testifying that they had something greater than the king. Amen. They were testifying they knew somebody superior to the king. And I tell you, when trouble comes in your home, when trouble comes in your life, the Bible says that you have a friend that sticketh closer than a brother, and that friend is the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the beauty when you know the Lord. When the trouble comes, you can turn to the Lord. When pain comes, you can turn to the Lord. When you fall sick, the Lord can be your healer. He's your Savior. He's your healer. He's your baptizer in the Holy Ghost. He's your coming King. And that's why it's so important to know the Lord. And we're living in the last days, and there's something beautiful in the Bible about the last days. And there's something I don't want to miss this morning. There's a key verse for the last days. And the key verse is this: that it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, that whosoever, that excludes nobody and includes everybody, that shall call upon the name of the Lord, shall be saved. Thank God there's salvation. Thank God there's a way of escape. Thank God when you're faced with the difficulties. Thank God when you're faced with the trials. Even if you don't know the Lord, you can come to know the Lord. You can call upon the name of the Lord and be saved. You can seek the Lord while he may be found. Seek the Lord while he is near. And I tell you, God wants you to seek him. I love the faith of these men. Verse 18, "But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods nor worship thy image." What a bold confession of faith this is. God wants us to have bold faith. God wants us to have a bold faith when one of our children's sick, and he wants us to step over them and lay our hands on them and pray for them, according to Mark 16, "And the sick shall recover, praise God." He wants us, when an older person's sick in the church, to have bold faith and take the book of James and call the elders of the church and anoint them with oil and pray over them in the name of the Lord, and the prayer of faith will save the sick, and if they committed sins, they shall be forgiven. God wants us to have bold faith. And these three Jews had bold faith. When the bank account seems empty and you're in the red, God wants you to bold faith, for he is the provider of your every need. He owns the cattle on a thousand hills. All the silver and gold's the Lord's. The Lord wants you to bold faith. And these men had bold faith. Oh, I love their faith. Thank God for faith. Jesus said, "If your faith is a grain of mustard seed," and that's a small seed, that's the Lord saying to you and me, just a wee tiny, tiny, tiny bit of faith will do it. If your faith is a grain of mustard seed, you will speak to this mountain and say, "Remove yonder." And if you don't doubt in your heart, whatsoever you shall say shall come to pass, for the name of Jesus Christ is above every other name. At the name of Jesus Christ, every knee must bow, every tongue must confess, at the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Pope's name's nothing compared to the name of Jesus. And my knee will bow to Jesus, and to Jesus only. Thank God for him. All down through the ages, numerous martyrs and saints who suffered persecution in the history of Christianity received great courage from integrity of faith and a bold confession. And I believe as Tyndale received the boldness, they were born of Burnham, and all these great men of God, and if you read the history of it, they were burned at the stake so that we could have this Bible. They were burned at the stake so that we could have a Protestant faith. And when I talk about a Protestant faith, I mean that we are Protestants. We're protesting everything that's against this book. That's what a real Protestant is. A real Protestant is a Protestant. And we protest against the Pope's not my Lord or my God or my Savior, and he's not my intercessor, and he's not my go-between, neither is the Virgin Mary, but Jesus Christ is my Lord and my God. Jesus Christ is my high priest. Jesus Christ is the bread from heaven. Jesus Christ is my Savior. Jesus Christ is my healer, and he's my Lord and my coming King. And none other can take his place. For I have no room for another. Can you say that this morning? Isn't it the truth? I tell you, these men received great courage. You say, but I could do it. You couldn't do it unless the Lord helped you. But the Lord anointed these men that was at the stake. And he anointed them. And who was the man's name said, we'll light a fire the day that won't go out? Lattimore. He said, have courage, young man. We'll light a fire the day that'll never go out. And I want you to know in this meeting house this morning that that fire is still burning. And I want you to know that that fire is still alive. That's the faith of Jesus Christ. And it's still alive today. And the Pope said the results of the Reformation has blown out and they're gone over. But I want you to know that there's a flame still burning bright in the lives and hearts of men and women that have received Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, and they serve him. I tell you, God give him special grace. And that grace that was on that man that said, we'll light a fire the day that won't go out. I believe that same anointing was on Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They were willing to die. They were willing to die. They were willing to die for the God they served. They weren't willing to break the commandments of God, for they knew the writings of Moses, as Moses says, that thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not worship any graven image. They knew the word of God. And they refused to break from the word for a tradition. They refused to break from the word for a false worship. They refused.
Amen.
And I thank God they refused. And they said, God, even if you don't deliver us, old Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego, they were old, but they said to the old king, we're not bound. But even if God doesn't, we'll still not bow. Yes, God can deliver us, but if he doesn't, I believe God can heal me, but if he doesn't, I'll still praise him. I won't accuse him. I won't blame God. I won't ridicule God. Job said, the Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. These three Jews should inspire and encourage every one of us. Well, what men of faith they were. It was not presumptuous. It wasn't a presumptuous reply, for they knew God. They spoke with a decision that is magnificent. They said, we are careful. That we have no concern and no care. We're careful how we answer you, but we have an assurance. We have an assurance. I want to ask you in this service this morning, have you an assurance that grips your heart? Have you an assurance that grips your life in this service this morning, that if you were to die today, you'd go to be with the Lord? Have you an assurance in this house today that you're saved and that you know the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Have you that assurance today? I want you to know, if you don't have that assurance, you can have that assurance. You can come to Jesus and know the Lord, whom to know is life eternal. I tell you, they had the assurance. Philippians 4, 6 to 7 tells us this. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving let your requests be known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. We're kept by the power of Jesus Christ. Well, I did well. I've kept myself myself for an hour. I led a terrible life. I was in jail, you know that. In jail twice. I robbed, I stole, I done all sorts of things. But the Lord saved me. The Lord delivered me. The Lord set me free. I cannot praise another, for that all the glory belongs to Jesus. He kept me when I first came. He's kept me over these 30 years, and He's keeping me today. He's the lover of my life. He's the Savior of my soul. He's the healer of my body. He's the one that baptized me with the Holy Ghost, and He's coming for me, and I'm going to go to be with the Lord. Praise His name.
Amen.
And I'll give no glory to another, only the Lord Jesus. Our God is able to deliver us. This was their reply. And He will deliver us. But if He does not, our decision's final. We're not changing our mind. Our decision is final. We've seen too much to go back. Are you hearing me? We've seen too much to go back. I want to tell you, there's nothing out there. There's nothing out there. I've tasted, I've tried the broken cisterns, Lord, but all the waters failed. And as I stooped to drink, they mocked me on our wheel. We've seen it, we've tried it, we've tasted of it. But one day we tasted of the honey on the rock. Oh, hallelujah. We drank from the living fountain, and we've never thirsted again. I tell you, if you said to me, Brother Tom, I'll make you a millionaire in the morning, and I want you to go back to the life you lived when you were 18, 19 years of age, I'll make you a millionaire if you go back and live that life for 1 month, I wouldn't do it. I'd rather go back with no bread on my table, with absolutely not one thing. I would never want to go back to the life I lived when I was 18 and 19 years of age. I thank God He saved me. And I have good news for you this morning, and those that's listening in this recording this morning. If Jesus Christ can save a man like me, who was like Paul, the chief of sinners, He can save anybody and everybody.
Amen.
Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Amen.
Our God's able to deliver us. He will deliver us. But if He does not, our decision's final. We will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou set up. They had the spirit of the martyrs. They were willing to die. I tell you, God wants every one of us to die. God wants every one of us to die. The old man must die, and we must be born again of the Spirit of God. Except a man is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And there's an old life that must die. That's why the Bible says when you're born again, you're the new creature in Christ Jesus. Old things pass away. Behold, all things are become new. You're the new creature. And I look back on my life, but I'm no longer that person. I'm no longer that man you say you are. I'm not. I'm a different person today than I was back then, because I'm saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. Let me just say about the blood this morning. Blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin and from all unrighteousness. Many a night I spent sleepless because of my sin was much and my conviction was much. But when I called on the Lord and I asked Him to cleanse me in the precious blood of Jesus Christ, He washed me and He cleansed me. And He cleared my conscience. Thank God He can clear the conscience. There's none can clear the conscience but Jesus. Because there's life in His blood. And that life's the Holy Ghost. I tell you, we will not bow. The Bible says they loved not their lives on the death, the martyrs. Not until the end of their natural life, but on the death of the fiery furnace, they were willing to die. I want you to see verse 19 to 23 of Daniel 3. And I'm only going to have 10 more minutes. The time's going. And the Lord's helping me this morning. I know He is. I hope you're enjoying the service. Verse 19. Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury. And the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Do you ever work with somebody? Do you ever have somebody you thought was your friend and all of a sudden they just change against you? You ever had that? I've had that. And you think you're really in with them. You think you're pals with them. And all of a sudden they change. I want you to, these men served the king. These men worked for the king. And they were in his, you know, he'd have done anything for them, more or less. They'd have done anything for him. But all of a sudden this has changed. And the same man that would have done anything for them, the same man that promoted them, is now going to kill them. You imagine how they must have felt. But God gave them courage. His visit was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace 7 times more than it wanted to be heated. And he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats, their hosen, and their hats and all their garments and were cast into the midst of the fiery furnace. This king was so enraged. This king was so furious. He didn't get the ordinary soldiers to tie them up, but he got his best soldiers to tie these men tight. He didn't want them to break free. And in the law, when you study back here in the custom, when you burn somebody, you strip them of their clothes. But he was so furious, he never took time to strip them of their clothes, but he threw them in where their clothes had all on them. He was so cross. I tell you, he was enraged. You know, the devil's enraged against God's people today. The word of God says when the enemy come in like a flood, the Spirit of Almighty God will raise a standard against him. He's enraged against the true preaching of the gospel. He's enraged if you stand for the truth of salvation and healing and the baptism of the Holy Ghost. He's enraged. He's wanting compromisers today. These men were no compromisers. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent, and the furnace exceedingly hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These great men, these great soldiers that bound Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, when they went to this flame and they threw Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego into the fire, they were consumed by the fire. They were burned alive. This king never sat to think for a moment in his rage, in his fury, in his anger. He made a decision in his rage. He made a decision in his fury, and he murdered his own men in making the decision. Not only was he going to kill Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, but he never thought that his own men would die with him, and they did. But these men never died. I tell you, never make a decision in rage. The Bible says, be angry, but sin not. Doesn't it? I tell you, if you're in a rage, or if you're in a fluster, or if you're in a hurry, do nothing. I'm telling you. Just come aside and wait for a while. And if you can, seek God till you're calmed down. But never make a decision in haste. Many decisions made in haste has landed people in jail. And I know what I'm preaching about. This king, he didn't take time. He just threw them in. Then these three men, verse 23, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego fell down bound in the midst of the fiery furnace. Nebuchadnezzar never heard these three Israelites confess their faith. He became so furious that his complexion changed. Do you ever see it? That they turn white or red, but their face will change. You ever saw that? Those who stood in the presence of the king trembled because they knew harm might come to them as well. They were afraid. This man was the king of all Babylon. This man's word was law. But he still wasn't God. The one thing he got, his word was law in Babylon, but he still wasn't God. There was one superior to him. There was one above him. There was one mightier than him. He forgot all that. Nevertheless, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego held on in faith to Almighty God. They knew the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob was able to deliver them. They held on to the one true God. They knew he was able to deliver. Perhaps their fathers had told them the story. Now remember, they're captives. Remember, they're slaves. Remember, they've been taken away. But they must have heard the story that Abraham told, how that God promised him a son when he couldn't have children because his wife was barren. And God gave them Isaac. And God promised them that he'd make a seed like the sand upon the seashores and make a mighty nation of them. They knew that because they were Jews. They knew the great deliverance God had wrought down through the history to that time with the Jewish people, how that God had delivered them and rescued them. They knew about it. That's why the word of God, to hear me this morning, that's why the word of God says, tell your children and your children's children the things the Lord have done. I've heard people saying, we don't need to tell them about this man that God used. That's a lie of the devil. God wants us to tell our children and our children's children of men like Smith Wigglesworth, of men like William Branham, of men like Jack Cole, of men that God used in this last century gone by, men that God poured his power on and delivered people. God wants us to tell it. He didn't want us to hide it in the corner. He wants us to tell our children's children, and most of all about Jesus. He's the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. Isn't that the word of God? These men said, will not bow. Even if God did not, they were going to break the great commandments of God. They wouldn't do it. Even if God doesn't deliver us, we're not breaking the commandments. I tell you, I thank God today. And bow down before a golden image. These three Jews loved God with all their whole heart. They were willing to die before they would bow till an image of gold. Let every one of us take a lesson from these great men of courage and faith, even if a crisis should come our way, forcing us to acknowledge Jesus Christ to the cost of our lives. We should never waver our confession of faith. Even if you're told, look, I've stood with men and they've said to me, you need to change and come with us, and you need to deny what you believe on the Godhead, on the water baptism, and come our way, and we'll sponsor you, we'll give you a great church. But I said, no! That's compromise. It's easy to go with a crowd. Don't think everywhere there's a crowd, God's in it. Because he's not. There was a crowd here. This was as big a crowd as you'd get. This was as big an audience as you'd get. But they're all in false worship. Only three men refused to buy out of the multitudes. Nebuchadnezzar was furious. And he commanded this burning fiery furnace to be turned up seven times hotter than it was heated, just as hot as the king's rage. The furnace was hot and he was hot. And I'm telling you, to rage, you can say things you regret. You can say things against a brother or sister you regret. Isn't that the truth? In a rage, that's not the spirit of Christ. That's another spirit. The Bible says he hasn't given us the spirit of fear, but of love and of truth and not of a sound mind. That's the spirit of the Lord. Resist the devil and he'll flee. There was no second chance here for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They were condemned to immediate execution. The fact that Nebuchadnezzar ordered them to be tied up by the strongest men in his army also reveals, you know, the rationality of this king's fury. He didn't want them getting away. He was going to make sure they were dead right. As if these three would be able to break free, just think of it. There's no way they were going to escape if an ordinary soldier tied them. But he was showing his authority. He was enraged. He was letting everybody know, I'm the boss. But he wasn't the boss. But the boss was on his way. I won't get into it all this morning, but we're going to get into it tonight. The boss was on his way. The real boss. Word of God says the enemy comes but to kill and to steal and to rob and destroy. But Jesus Christ said, I'm come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. Amen. Thank God Jesus Christ is life. Amen. The king commanded they be thrown in clothes and all. And the very men that threw them in, they were consumed in the flames. There we see the king's decision and anger. Now let us get to verse 24, and I'm going to read it. I'm going to have to stop. My time's gone already, you know that. I'm dying to tell you. Can you wait till the night? And I want you to see what number 4 means. When you take number 4, I'll just drop you this. When you take number 4 into Hebrew, it means dalek, which means a door. And the door of life come right into the furnace. Hallelujah. Let us stand our feet this morning. Every head's bowed, every eye closed. I want to tell you the Lord loves every one of you. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. What about verse 17? For God sent his Son not into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. The Lord can save everybody if they'll only come. If you will want prayer in the latter part of this service this morning, we're closing. The song leader's going to come. Every head's bowed, every eye closed. Just lift your hand to the Lord. And I'll pray for you this morning. God bless you, son. Praise God. Praise God. Heavenly Father, we just thank you and praise you this morning. We thank you that we can look into this book of Daniel, take an example for our lives, for what you want us to do today. Father, I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that the Holy Spirit will take these words and speak to the lives of men and women today. Father, that you'll grant that faith and courage that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had, that will everyone serve you with all of our hearts. Bless thy word now to our hearts as we go our separate ways. Lord, that you'd bring us again this evening to the service to hear more. We would just ask for the help of the Holy Spirit. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. Amen. God bless each one as our brother Gary comes. God bless you. We're back again at 3:30, the Lord willing. God bless you this evening, brother.
Thank you.